Good evening, welcome everyone. Tonight's Tefillah Shir, Shir number 110. Yud Ches Iyar Tovshin Samach Tes, May 11th, 2009. Last night we counted the 32nd night of the Omer. The truth is, tonight's bracha of all the brachas of Shemoneh Esrei, I would like to say we don't have to talk a lot about. I think of all the brachas, perhaps this is the bracha I think we might have the easiest time having kavana, concentrating on what we're saying. That's because tonight we're discussing the ninth bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, the bracha of parnasa, the bracha of sustenance, livelihood, wealth. So when it comes to davening for kedusha, sanctity, holiness, maybe we have to like relate to it a little better. But who doesn't daven properly for the bracha of parnasa? But the truth is, we have to ask ourselves, what are we really davening for? What do the mafarshim and the commentaries tell us that we should have in mind when we say these words? Before we begin, I'd like to quote a Gemara in Psachim, Kuf Yud Ches Amar Aleph. We're going to say the three statements from the Gemara. We're not here now to explain and elaborate these statements. Each one deserves a class by itself. The first one, Amar Rabbi Yochanan said, Koshin Mezonis of Shaladim Keflayim Keyaleidu. Man's sustenance is twice as difficult as the suffering a woman in childbirth goes through. Man's sustenance, his parnasa, is twice as difficult as the pain a lady goes through when she gives birth to a child. Now, don't tell this to a lady when she's giving birth. The next statement of the Gemara. Another one from Rabbi Yochanan. Koshin mizoynus shaladam yoisim in agula. Man's sustenance is more difficult than the redemption. Some learn to be a personal redemption. Some learn the global redemption. Once again, for man to have a livelihood is more difficult than the ultimate redemption. And the third statement that we'll quote tonight from this Gemara. Omar Rabbi Lazar, says Rabbi Lazar, Koshin mizonisov shel adam kekriyas yamsuf. Man's sustenance, his livelihood, his parnasa, is difficult, just as splitting the sea was a difficult task. Obviously, in Hashem's realm, nothing is difficult, but in that idea, the concept of the splitting of the sea, taking the waters and splitting them, we're saying man's parnasa is even more difficult. What do these statements of the Gemara tell us? Obviously, parnasa is not something to be taken lightly. Parnasa is something that we have to make sure we daven for. We have to make sure we daven with the proper kavana. And when we have that parnasa, make sure we daven for it for other reasons, as we'll explain tonight. I'd like to begin tonight with a Yaris Devash, or Bionis and Ibishis, lived over 300 years ago. And I just wanted to say something before I say over from his words, and which is as follows. We're about to quote a topic and learn together something that I'm not going to claim to have a understanding in. And normally I don't like to talk about things I don't know what they mean. But Rabbi Yonatan Eibeshitz is writing this for everybody, not for those who just learn the secrets of the Torah. And the commentators of today who quote, who bring down explanations on the Siddur, they quote Rabbi Yonatan Eibeshitz. With that introduction, the words we're about to say applies to all of us, and we could bring it down to this level. And what does he say? in the bracha of Birchas Hashanim, the bracha of Parnasa, which is the ninth bracha which we have in front of us. He says, with the daven for mezonos, with the daven for food. And he brings from the Ramak HaKadosh, Rav Moshe Kodavora, who was of the generation, the time period of the Arizal, the Chachmei Tzfas, the Kabbalist of Tzfas. And he quotes the Ramak and he says as follows. He was machmir hichmir shaloi the sakin sarchi achilo. He would not prepare his own food. Terem his pawal mezainoisa. Before he would pray for his food first. Before he would sit down to prepare his food, he would first daven to Hashem for his food. And this is where it gets heavy. He says as follows, if a person has, first of all, a person has to realize that the food a person eats is there to satiate not only his physical being, but his spiritual soul as well. And he says like this, Roy b'tfilas shachris al kol panim lasum liboy l'Hashem. That a person should make sure when he davens shachris, specifically shachris, of course by mincha and marv as well, that he davens to Hashem that the food he will eat does not have in it any aspect of sin. Because if there's any little piece of forbidden aspects in this food, if the food was attained in a forbidden way, through stealing it, through dealing in business improperly, if the food is not kosher food, he says it affects his soul. However, if the food is from kosher source doesn't just mean from our next door neighbor over here, that the food is kosher. But the money is kosher, and everything else that comes along with it is kosher, then it is food for his soul as well, in a positive sense. And he asks a question. How is it possible? The Gemara tells us that Rabbi Yochanan Kohen Gadol, he was a Kohen Gadol for 80 years. And at the end he went off. And at the end he became a tzduki, a non-believer in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Hashem. How could something like this happen? And he brings the Arizal HaKadosh. And he tells us that the neshama, the soul, the souls of the rishoyim, of evil people, they rest in the food, in the produce, and the animals. And therefore, when people consume this food, and they don't daven first to Hashem, that the food should be clean of any chait, of any sin, then they are eating, they are bringing that ra, that evil into their body. And explains the Arizal, this is how Rabbi Yochanan, who was a priest, a Kohen Gadol, for 80 years, he went to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, and at the end, he went off and did not serve Hashem anymore. Because he consumed inside his neshama, inside his soul, the nishmas rishayim, the souls of the rishayim, of evil people. This is the heavy part that we spoke about. So he asked the question, what should a person do? He eats a carrot. How does he know what's in that carrot? He doesn't have x-ray vision to see which soul is there. He gets a steak. What should he do? What he should do is daven to Hashem, and we say, Baruch Aleinu, Hashem Elokeinu, Es Hashanah Hazois. We daven to Hashem, bless us. Hashem, our God, Es Hashanah Hazois this year. Veskol minei suvuasa l'toiva, and all of the varieties of its produce l'toiva for good. V'sein berocha, and bestow all the blessings al pnei ha'adoma, upon the face of the earth. V'sabeinu mituvecha, and we're davening Hashem, satiate us mituvecha, from your good. The focus is on from Hashem's good. Because if it's coming from Hashem, then there won't be any sin intertwined with this food. And when we eat this food, enjoy that steak. And enjoy the fruit. Because we're davening it's mituvecha, it's from Hashem's good. This is what the Yaris Devash tells us. This is the kavana, what we should be thinking when we say these words, v'sabeinu mituvecha. Hashem satiate us from your good. That it should come from a good source, not from any aspect of stealing things, of lack of kosher food, of anything that has any iser, forbidden aspects to it. Baruch shenaseinu kashanim atoyveis, and bless our year like the good years. Baruch atah Hashem, mevarech hashanim, the bless of the years. That's part one to the Yaris Devash. Very powerful words that we should make sure that when we daven this bracha, the food we eat should be kosher in the sense for our neshama. There's a story with the Vilna Gaon, Rav Eliyahu Mivilna. And what happened was, there was a question in halacha with a dietary food in front of the family. Something, a question came up. And the family, the mother told the son to go to the Rav in town and ask the question to the Rav. In the meantime, another member of the family went and said to go ask the Vilna Gaon. Go ask him, what's the halacha? What's the law? Is this food permissible or not? Both of them came back, both children came back. Of course, as we know, in Jewish law, it can have different opinions. The Rav of the town said, it is forbidden to eat, and the Vilna Gaon, he said it's permissible to eat, and the Vilna Gaon said it's forbidden to eat. So now what do they do? Should they eat it, or should they not eat it? The Vilna Gaon, in the effort to give the proper cover, the respect to the Rav of the town, said he's going to come to the house and eat the food. If the Rav paskined that the food is kosher to eat, I will come and eat the food. And he came, and he sat down to eat the food. And one version of the story is that a candle from above his head fell into his portion. The wax. And he couldn't eat the food anymore. Now, he was going to eat it. The Sabeinu Tuvech, for him, it wasn't good. According to one version of the story. Another way to understand what we should be davening for in this bracha. Rabbi Yonatan Aivishus says that we're not just davening for our own parnasa, so we should have a livelihood. But he says a very powerful statement. He says as follows: Ki ba'avoneseinu harabim, ikir chatoyim shebisrael hu lechiser parnasa. Because of the tremendous sins that exist around us, the main chait the main problem, source of the problem that we as a Jewish nation have is because of the lack of parnasa. The lack of parnasa brings people to sin. The lack of a livelihood brings a person to sin. Whether it's because he feels, how am I going to make a living if I don't cut corners here or do something over here, whatever it might be. So says the Rebbe Naibishitz, what we should do is as follows. When we daven, Baruch Aleinu Hashem Elokeinu Hashem, bless us, bless this year for us. Not just me, but for all the poor people around me. For all the poor people in the world, all the people who need something, who need to bring food on the table, need to pay the bills. And we should daven for all of Klal Yisrael, that they should have parnasa as well. And with them having parnasa, we continue with the ultimate goal. As the tefillahs continue, we have Kibbutz Golis right afterwards. If there's no more chait, because we say the source of the chait, the source of the sin that people do, is a lack of livelihood. What's the next bracha that follows? A prayer for deliverance. Sound the great shofar for our liberty. And raise a banner to gather our exiles. And gather us together. From all four corners of the earth. If we're davening properly for all of our brothers, and the ikur, the main reason why we sin, is because of the lack of parnasa, then our proper tefillah will take away the source, one of the main reasons, the source of our sin. Then we will merit that ultimate deliverance from Hashem. And Hashem will blow, that great sounding shofar will blow, and the redemption will come. This is one approach to understanding the bracha Baruch Aleinu. The Gemara tells us as follows. Gemara in Beya, Maseches Beya, tells us on Daf Tezayin. Man's sustenance, his parnasa, whatever he's about to make that whole coming year, comes Rosh Hashanah time, it's set. That's what it is. That's what's going to be. If that's the case, the question has to be asked. And many of the commentators ask this question. Why do we daven three times a day? Baruch Aleinu, Shachris. Mincha, Baruch Aleinu. Again, Baruch Aleinu Hashem Elokeinu. Whatever I'm supposed to get, I'll get. I was Baruch Hashanah, wasn't I? Another question. Why am I davening for the Shana, for the year? What about for every single day? Right now? What's the understanding of Sabenu apnei ha'adama, upon the face of the earth? You Hashem should bestow the bracha apnei ha'adama. There are a few different approaches to these questions. We'll start as follows. Baruch aleinu, the word baruch comes from the word bracha, a pool, a wellspring. Man has to realize and acknowledge that the sustenance he gets is not from his own, but rather from Hashem. And if he doesn't do this, God forbid, and if he doesn't realize that the parnasa he gets, the money he gets, comes from Hashem, then he thinks it comes from himself. As the pasuk says, "Koychi v'oitzim yodi osali sechayla zeh." It's my strength, it's my intellect, my success, my knowledge, my great idea, which brought to me this wonderful livelihood. We start off this bracha, unlike other brachas, with Baruch, to focus on who is the source of the bracha. You, Hashem. Baruch Aleinu. Hashem, give us a bracha. What's the bracha we're davening for? We're davening that we should realize it comes from you. What is the meaning of the word Shana? So, we know Shana means year. But if we break up the word Shana, in the Shin, the Nun, and the He, we have 300. Nun is 5. He is 5. 355. The lunar calendar, when the months of Kislev, Cheshvan and Kislev are full, complete, come out to 355 days of the year. Baruch Aleinu es Hashana Hazois, bless this year. We're asking Hashem to die, we're dying to Hashem to bless every single day of this year. We ask the question though, whatever we're going to get is already set in stone because we daven on Rosh Hashanah. A few different approaches to this. One is that throughout the year, if a person was supposed to get $1 million, it could be throughout the year he might have sinned here and there. So he'll get $1 million, but he's not going to use it properly. He'll get it early in the year. And then throughout the year, he has a dry spell. So even though it was set, he's not using it properly. We want every single day, we're davening to Hashem, Baruch Aleinu es Hashana, the Shana, every single day of the year should be a bracha. It should be used properly, and we should get what we deserve properly. Shana can also mean shinui, to change, says the Avni Eliyahu. And that is because, as we mentioned, through a person's actions, he has that ability to change things. And once again, even though things were set in one way, he can change things. If they were originally not so good, through his actions throughout the year, he can change them for the positive. So how does that work? If X amount of rain was supposed to come down, and it's not enough for the whole entire year, so how is it going to work in the positive sense? So the way that comes out is as follows. Because instead of all of that rain coming down at one time, like we had this past week, 4 or 5 days in a row of constant pouring rain, but then sometimes later on we have a drought, Hashem can give us the rain properly, in its proper time, in the proper place. That'll fall on the spots that need the growth. For Davin Baruch Aleinu Hashem Elokeinu es Hashana Hazos, even though there's a shinui, the change of the year, let it be for positive, that it should go in the proper way, even though if, let's say, less of the normal amount should come down. The same Barucho al Pnei Ha'adoma, the Sabeinu Mituvecha. What are we diving for over here? The same Barucho al Pnei Ha'adoma. We are diving not just for our own prosperity, not just for our own good success and wealth, but also on the global sense for the world at large. And the Gemara in Tainus tells us of the great Sadi Rachanina ben Daisa, who as he was walking, he found this rain cloud over his head. So he said to Hashem, Hashem, the whole world is peace and comfortable. I have a rain cloud over my head. Immediately, the rain stopped. But when he entered his house, he said, Hashem, I, Chanina ben Dosa, am comfortable, but the world needs rain. The rain began once again. The same Baruch HaPnei HaAdama, and give a blessing on the face of the earth. We have to be concerned for other people as well, not just for ourselves. Another approach to the same Baruch HaPnei HaAdama is as follows. And being that tonight, it is already the yard site of Rav Shimon bar Yochai, it's only appropriate to say something from the great Tana, Rav Shimon bar Yochai. And as we know, the Gemara tells us that when one quotes from the Gemara, from that person, his lips move in his kever, in his coffin. The same Baruch HaPnei HaAdama, and give a blessing on the face of the earth. What does this mean? Says the Medrash, there was once a student of Rav Shimon bar Yochai who became very wealthy. Other Talmidim, other students of Rav Shimon bar Yochai were very impressed with this success that the student, that their friends had. Rav Shimon bar Yochai noticed how his Talmidim were impressed with this one Talmid, with this one student. He said, follow me. And they went to a valley. And he commanded the valley, I command you to give forth gold coins. And immediately, the valley started spitting out gold coins. Filled up. To which Rav Shimon bar Yochai said, if you want it, go take it. But realize one thing. What you take down here, you lose up there. Another similar situation. As we just mentioned, the great powers of Rav Chanina ben Dosa. As powerful as he was in a tremendous state of poverty. The Gemara tells us the whole world survived on the merit of this one tzaddik. But yet, he lived in tremendous poverty. One day, the Gemara in Tanya's Chavdala tells us, his wife, tzaddik that she was, she said to her husband, we need something. We can't survive like this. Please, daven to Hashem. And the Gemara relates that a golden leg came down from Shemayim into the room. He davened, he was answered. That night when he went to sleep, he had a dream. And in the dream, he sees different people sitting at different tables with three legs. His table, him and his wife, this table they're sitting on, is two legs. When he awoke in the morning, he shared this dream with his wife, and she begged him to take it back. To daven to Hashem, take that leg back. Which he did. And the golden leg was removed. What are we davening over here? The same Baruch HaPnei HaAdama? Is it possible to have wealth and not lose? It definitely is. And that's what we're davening for. The same Baruch HaPnei HaAdama. We're davening that the source of our wealth should come apnei ha'adama, from this earth. And we should not be losing anything from the world to come. That's what these powerful words mean. The same beracha apnei ha'adama. And give a blessing on the face of the earth. Let this world, oilam hazeh, this world, be the source of this bracha. And not that, God forbid, we should be losing anything from the world to come. There was a stone of chassid. Rabbi Yisrael Herfenus is stolen a chassid, who went to go greet his Rebbe, the stolen Rebbe. And when he had the chance to go in the private chamber of the Rebbe, the Rebbe asked him a question. How is it that you've got so wealthy? He was a very wealthy man, and he used his money properly. He gave it to proper tzedakas. So Rabbi Yisrael shared the story with the Stolner Rebbe. He said, many years ago, when I was 15 years old, the Yontif of Sukkot was approaching, and the whole town was very excited. But then suddenly, the weather turned very cold, and it rained, and the frost came, and the whole ground was frozen, all the streets, everything was frozen. And the joy and anticipation for the Yontif of Sukkot died down, because no one was able to get out and chisel away at this ice to build the sukkah. It was Erev Sukkot, and not one person in town had a sukkah. They just couldn't do it. I, as a 15-year-old, a lot of energy, I said, I'm going to try to do what I could do. And I went out there, and I started chiseling away. I chiseled and chiseled. And the more I chiseled away, the colder it got. And it seemed like nothing was going to happen. I wouldn't get anywhere. And I continued chiseling. My hands were freezing. My whole body was freezing. Continues every soul to the Rebbe. And I didn't stop. And eventually I was able to make an outline for the walls, for the boards, for the sukkah. And I did this for the Rebbe, for the stolen Rebbe, the grandfather of this one that he was telling the story to. And he was so appreciative, so excited, that he was going to have his sukkah to perform the mitzvah. He said to me, I give you two choices, and you choose what you want. You have the opportunity to be with me in Gan Eden. You can be with me in the world to come. The same portion I have, you will get as well. That is the promise, the gift I want to repay you. Or wealth for as long as you live. So the Rebbe is listening. And he said, and what did you choose? Shamefully, he puts his head, he lowers his head, and he says, I chose the wealth. The Rebbe says, and looks at him, how could you have done this? You gave up the opportunity to be in Gan Eden with my grandfather for some money? But the story is not over. Rabbi Yisrael explained himself to the Rebbe, and he said as follows, if I would have taken that portion in Gan Eden, yes, that would have been great, but only for me. With the bracha that I got, I was able, and I'm able to help others. And I come here today to ask you for one bracha. A bracha for long life. Because I know I have this bracha for wealth. And I ask you for a bracha, for health, for a long life. With that bracha, I will be able to be continuing and helping and giving tzedakas for many, many years to come. The Rebbe, hearing these words, quickly gave this bracha to this great tzaddik of Israel. Baruch Aleinu Hashem Elokeinu Es Hashana Hazois. We daven to Hashem. Let me appreciate what you give me. Let me acknowledge it comes from you. And when I know it comes from you, let me give it to the proper sources. Because I am that mailman. when I was in yeshiva in Chaim Berlin. So, my friend, it was his job at the time to give out the kollel checks. I said thank you to him. He said a very nice point, which I wasn't thinking about before the shiur tonight. It just came to mind. And he said to me, the same way I feel. I didn't do anything. I was asked by the office to give out the checks. That I'm not giving you anything. It's not coming from me. That is the same mindset he told me, which is right. And that's what we're saying here tonight. That when, excuse me, when someone gives tzedakah, he has to realize he's just that mailman. Because Hashem put it in his pocket to give to someone else. And that's why it's there. And this is what we're diving to Hashem. Bareich aleinu. Sustain us. So I can sustain others as well. And the third approach, the last approach that time allows for tonight, is we're davening to Hashem to be satiated. Not satiated with more, but with what we have. As the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us, Eizehu Oshir HaSameach B'chelkoi. Who is a wealthy man? HaSameach B'chelkoi, the one who is happy with his lot. What is an Oshir? What is a wealthy person? An Oshir is a person who realizes what he has. Einayim, shinayim, yadayim, v'raglayim, as you might have heard in the past. Asher stands for einayim, the eyes, yadayim, the hands, raglayim, einayim, yadayim, einayim, the eyes, yadayim, the hands, raglayim, and shinayim, and the teeth, feet and the teeth. Imagine approaching somebody and say, would you like $5 million? They say, sure. Okay, listen, you have two hands. Give me one. Give me $5 million. No. $10 million. You have two eyes. Just $10 million for one eye. No. $20 million for one eye. So you're crazy. I'm not giving you anything. All the money in the world, I'm not giving it to you. So let's realize and let's focus. Einayim, the eyes. Shinayim, the teeth. Yadayim, the hands. And Raglayim, the feet. We are Ashirim. We are wealthy. We're davening to Hashem. Bareich aleinu as Hashana Hazois. Bless us this year. There's kolmeisu wasa l'toiva, and all of the different foods and everything that comes out for good. They say that we should use it for good. The same bracha al pnei hadama, as we mentioned, and give the bracha, the blessing al pnei hadama, that the wealth that we have should not take away from upstairs, from the world to come. V'sabeinu mituvecha, as we learn from the Aris Devash. V'sabeinu mituvecha, from you, Hashem, the food should come from a good source. Clean from any sin, clean from any theft, clean from any non-kosher food. So this way we'll put kedusha inside of us, sanctity in our neshama. As well as davening for everybody else. Because we mentioned that the ikur chait of people comes, the main reason people sin comes from the lack of parnasa. We're davening for others as well. And now we are saying that we're davening to Hashem. Satiate us, that we should feel satiated, we should be happy with what we have. Bareich aleinu, es hashana hazois. The shana, we said every single day is the shana. We have to daven every day for what we have. We began with the Gemara, with the three statements. How difficult it is to have parnasa. The pain that a lady goes through childbirth. Parnasa is even more difficult, says the Gemara. Even more difficult than the splitting of the sea. And even more difficult than the ultimate redemption. In conclusion, When did the Malachi Ashoris, as we mentioned, that this bracha was said, all the brachas were said by the angels, ministering angels in heaven, at a certain point in time in our history? When Yitzchak Avinu, he planted in the land, and there was a year he received in that year a hundredfold from Hashem. As the Pasuk says in Bereishis, Chav Vav Yudbeis, the Malachi Ashoris, says the Medrash, came out and said, Baruch Atah Hashem Mevorech Hashanim, Blesser of the years, I give all of you a bracha, that you should all have a blessed year.
Amen. Amen.